namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 6, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Savai Pung Sang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Adhokshaje Ahaitukya Pratihata Yayatma Suprasidati. Translation: the supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Purport. In this statement, Sri Suta Goswami answers the first question of the sages of Naimisharanya. The sages asked him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and present the most essential part so that fallen people or the people in general might easily take it up. The Vedas prescribe two different types of occupation for the human being. One is called the Nivritti Marg, or the path of renunciation. The path of enjoyment is inferior, and the path of sacrifice for the supreme cause is superior. The material existence of the living being is a diseased condition of actual life. Actual life is spiritual existence or Brahma Bhuta existence, where life is eternal, blissful and full of knowledge. Material existence is temporary, illusory and full of miseries. There is no happiness at all. There is just the futile attempt to get rid of miseries, and temporary cessation of misery is falsely called happiness. Therefore, the path of progressive material enjoyment, which is temporary, miserable and illusory, is inferior. But devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal, blissful and all-cognizant life, is called the superior quality of occupation. This is sometimes polluted when mixed with the inferior quality. For example, adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation. Renunciation or abnegation for ultimate good is certainly a better occupation than enjoyment in the diseased condition of life. Such enjoyment only aggravates the symptoms of disease and increases its duration. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord must be pure in quality, that is, without the least desire for material enjoyment. One should, therefore, accept the superior quality of occupation in the form of the devotional service of the Lord without any tinge of unnecessary desire, fruitive action, and philosophical speculation. This alone can lead one to perpetual solace in his service. We have purposely denoted dharma as occupation because the root meaning of the word dharma is that which sustains one's existence. A living being's sustenance of existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna is the central pivot of living beings, and he is the all-attractive living entity or eternal form amongst all other living beings or eternal forms. Each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence, and Krishna is the eternal attraction. Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. Krishna is the complete whole and everything else is his part and parcel. The relation is one of the servant and the served. It is transcendental and is completely distinct from our experience in material existence. This relation of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. One can realize it as devotional service progresses. Everyone should engage himself in that transcendental loving service of the Lord, even in the present conditional state of material existence. That will gradually give one the clue to actual life and please him to full satisfaction. Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahaitukya pratihata yayatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Is everyone happy? Happy, happy, happy. This verse speaks about being fully happy. Yayatma suprasidati. Our very being is full of happiness. And it also speaks about dharma. To follow dharma, it's a very big topic. It basically means to be good, isn't it? To follow dharma means to be good. So, which do you think is more important? To be good or to be happy?
To be good.
Everyone will say to be good is better than to be happy. Someone is saying to be happy. Mostly people say it's better to be good. But practically in our life, we don't always act in a way that's good, but we act in a way that we think will make us happy. If you want to be good, turn your cell phone off. And if you don't, I'll make you unhappy. So either way, please turn your cell phone off. 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 We usually have to say it at least 3 times. Mostly people like to think that I'm good. But practically, we act out of self-interest. Just one gross example. If we eat meat, then it might make us happy. Wouldn't make me happy, but some people think they become happy by eating meat. But they cause unnecessary severe pain to other living beings by eating the meat. You don't see how the living being is, whether it's a chicken or a goat or a cow or snake, some people eat snakes. You don't see how they're experiencing pain, but it is in almost all cases, meat is taken from the body of a killed animal, so it causes pain. And actually, everything we do, pretty much, is for self-interest. We may say, no, I go to work and I'm not working for me, I'm working for my family. It's not self-interest, I'm working for my family. But we're working for our family because we find our self-interest is in working for the family. Why are we working and giving money to our wife so that she can spend it for household maintenance? Why don't we give it to the next door neighbor's wife? Well, one reason is because our wife would get very angry. But because we have a specific relationship with the woman who we think this is my wife, because it's in relation to me. So, if we examine what every living being does is for the sake of happiness. There is no concept of dharma, of being good, among animals. Although among animals they may also cooperate, ants cooperate, bees cooperate, dolphins cooperate. There's some sense of monkeys, although they're fighting with each other, they have some kind of cooperation also, somewhere there. But in human life, it is possible to conceive of dharma. Dharma conceived of as the ultimate good. Generally we think, I like to be happy, it's good to be happy, alright, let me get something for my happiness. Let me take an ice cream, that will make me happy. But the consideration of dharma is that which will make us fully happy in all respects eternally. So someone may, if we ask if it's better to be good or better to be happy, someone will say it's better to be good, someone will say it's better to be happy, and someone will say, well, if we are good, then we will be happy. So we get both. Selfishness, selfish people, they're generally not happy. Selfish person means he always tries to take as much as he can for himself, not caring about others. So such people are not happy people. People who try to do things for others, then they become more happy. Just like there's a, there may be many such videos on the internet. There's one video on dandavats.com in which a Swami speaks about doctors doing selfless service, performing eye operations, and because of this selfless service, they're doing eye operations for poor people, free. And because of this selfless service, they feel a kind of happiness that they don't get when they're performing eye operations for money, because they're helping poor, helpless people. So by their selfless service, they experience some kind of happiness. So that is being good and becoming happy by being good. Normally they perform eye operations and take money and they get some happiness from getting the money. But if they do it selflessly for helping poor people, then they get another kind of happiness. Of course, they don't do it all their life because they want to go back to Bombay and make lots of money, so they can come for a short time in the year and have the pleasure of that selfless service. So to be good is to be happy. Not everyone would agree with that. Some people would say, well, let me get pleasure, let me enjoy myself, then I'll be happy. And that's the general tenor of modern society. It's called hedonism. The idea that if we just enjoy ourselves as much as possible, that will be happiness. Get money, drink wine, eat lots of meat, and to hell with everyone else. Generally we think people are good. Most people are good, isn't it? Generally we think, well, maybe you don't think. Maybe they're not so good. Most people like to think that they're good. But if the police go on strike, then you'll see who is good. What happens when the police go on strike? In most countries it's illegal for the police to go on strike, but sometimes they do anyway. And then we find the crime rate increases very quickly. People smash jewelry shops and steal everything. A few years ago in New Orleans, a city in America, there was a hurricane which destroyed the whole infrastructure of the city. It was chaos. It was flooded everywhere, and the police were not able to give security, and there was rampant looting. So people are well behaved. One of the reasons is because of the police. They may not be very well behaved themselves, but they keep the general population in check. So we like to think that we are good. We have high ideals that we are good. Even if the police are not there, I'll still be good. If I find a wad of 1,000 rupee notes on the street, 100 rupee note, if we found a wad of 1,000 rupee notes on the street, I won't look around to see if no one's looking and stick it in my purse. I'll pick it up and say, "Did anyone drop this?" And probably someone will snatch it out of your hand and run away. Who knows? But we like to think that I'm a moral person. I'm a good person. So sometimes dharma, this verse speaks about dharma, it's sometimes translated as morality. And if we like to think if we're very moral, then we'll be good, then we'll be happy. But dharma, as Krishna taught Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, dharma should be followed for the sake of dharma. We shouldn't think, "Let me follow dharma, then I will get dharma. From dharma comes artha, kama. I will benefit from that." But rather we should follow dharma because it is the right thing to do. And if we do so, we will be protected by dharma. Dharma rakshati rakshataha. Those who protect dharma, they are protected by dharma. So actually that's ultimately in our own self-interest and in the interest of everyone to practice dharma, even if the immediate effect doesn't make us happy. And this was the whole situation of Bhagavad Gita, that Arjuna thought, "Well, if I fight, I won't be happy because all my relatives will be killed, and it won't be dharma, because to fight against your superiors is against dharma." So Krishna was able to convince Arjuna to fight when Krishna convinced Arjuna that although it is against the principles of dharma to attack your gurus, in this circumstance, you should do, it is dharma to do so. Why? It's a complex discussion, but ultimately because Krishna wanted it. So, in this instance, by following dharma, Arjuna, what he saw as his immediate benefit, what would make him happy, that would not happen. But still he had to follow dharma for the sake of following it, with the faith that by doing so, that would bring about the ultimate good. Immediate good, maybe not, but ultimate good. So this leads us to the discussion of Shreyas and Prayas. This is described in the Vedas, in the Upanishads. There is Shreya and Praya. We've all heard the word Shreya, Shreyas. Shreyas means that which is good, that which is beneficial. And prayer also means that which is beneficial. But prayer means that which we think is priya, that which seems to give us some immediate benefit. But for Shreya or Shreyas, it might not be in our immediate interest to do so, but in the long-term interest it is there. So what is ultimately beneficial? It might not be that which immediately makes us happy. Just like the child is sent to school with the misunderstanding, if it's most schools, that the child will be benefited by doing so. The child likes to think, let me play. I was very happy playing, and then one day my mother sent me off to this school. I don't want to go to school. But the mother sends the child to school with the understanding, right or wrong, that it's for the long-term benefit of the child to do so. So Shreyas has to go to school for his Shreyas. That's an inside joke. The boy called Shreyas has to go to school with the idea that that will be Shreyas, that will be for his long-term benefit. So, when we're talking about happiness, generally we're talking about karma. My desire will be fulfilled. But dharma means we should put dharma first. And the idea is that by following dharma, we will also get karma. But if we, because there's dharma, artha, karma, moksha, these are called the chaturvarga, the four goals of human life. But if we think I will have karma without dharma, then that becomes adharma or vidharma, against dharma. So in the modern age, we see people are not much interested in dharma. They may say, Hindu, we're Hindus, or we're Muslims, but they're not very interested to understand actually what is dharma. The real dharma for everyone in the modern age, it's not Hinduism, Christianity, Muslim, Islam, anything. The real dharma for, or the real goal of life is karma, how we can satisfy our senses. But in the Vedic system, there is dharma, artha, karma, moksha. One should follow dharma, and from that, one's karma will also be fulfilled. One will also get artha, which means money, and not only money, but whatever we need for our bodily necessities. And ultimately, there is moksha, or liberation from material existence. So, if we want to be happy, we should be good. Otherwise, if we want to be happy by slitting the throats of goats, for instance, we'll go to hell. So we may get some immediate happiness, but then we have to suffer. Whereas if we follow dharma, then we get happiness, and it's a sustainable happiness. We continue to act following dharma, and we also get sensual enjoyment, but in a pious way. So, the ultimate aim is to, in the Vedic system, is to come to moksha, which means to understand that everything in this world is miserable. Therefore, we should strive for moksha, for getting free from material existence. But Krishna says, sarvadhaman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. Give up all varieties of dharma and just surrender to me. So what did Arjuna understand by that? Give up dharma. Okay, That just like if the police, they stop people doing bad things, So for most people, they don't do bad things because they have a sense of dharma. But if you give up dharma, okay, I'll just go and kill someone without any reason. I'll just go and take some woman from the street and take her home and violate her, and I'll just walk in the shop and take all the goods and not pay for them. And if anyone tries to stop me, I'll punch them in the face. Is that what Arjuna understood? No. So what is Krishna saying? Sarvadharma. Is Krishna saying by giving up all dharma, stop being good, stop all morality? Is that what Krishna is saying? That's not as Arjuna understood it, because Krishna says, Sarvadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja, take shelter of me. But Krishna says to follow dharma. Krishna doesn't tell us, go and steal, lie, cheat, murder, pillage, rape. So dharma is given by Krishna. Yada yada hi dharmasya glane bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamayaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya tadushkritam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna personally comes and he, at least from the superficial outlook, Krishna takes a lot of effort to re-establish dharma whenever it declines. He kills people who are against dharma to establish those who are for dharma. So dharma is very important. But Krishna says, sarva dhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja. So to take shelter of Krishna doesn't mean, and to give up all dharma doesn't mean that one gives up all morality and goodness and all the injunctions in the scriptures. Because Krishna has just said that we should follow scripture. Dharma is prescribed in Shastra. And Krishna says that we should not give that up. Ya shastra vidimutsrija vartate kama karataha nasa siddhim avapnoti nasukam naparam gatim. Krishna says that those who give up following shastra and act according to their own whims, they cannot attain siddhi, they cannot attain perfection, they cannot attain happiness, they cannot achieve the ultimate destination. Therefore, Krishna says, tasmat chastram pramanam te karya karya vivastito yatva shastra vidhanoktam karyam kartamiharasi. Therefore, Krishna says, therefore one should know what is in shastra, and as long as one is in this world, one should follow that. So Krishna, he makes the point that if we don't follow shastra, we go to hell. If we don't follow shastra, then we follow what? Then we're following karma, and from karma comes krodha and lobha. Karma without dharma means kam, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. And karma with dharma means dharma, artha, karma, moksha. So karma without dharma means going to hell, that's all. That means trividhang narakasyedam, trividhang narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanaha kamas krodhas tata lopas tasmat etat trayantyajit. There are three gates leading to hell: kam, krodh, lobh. Therefore Krishna says one should give them up. And how to give them up? By following shastra. We should follow shastra. So Krishna says, sarvadhaman parityaja. That doesn't mean that we become barbarians, or we give up dharma, all morality. But it means that we come above the stage of thinking that dharma is simply meant for fulfilling material desires. It means to Krishna, here in the Bhagavatam, it's explained just after this. There's one verse. that explains this exactly. This dharmasya hi apavargyasya. Dharma is meant for mukti, apavarga. Narto tayo pakalpate. Nartasya dharmai kantasya kamo labhaya hismataha. Dharma is not meant, although it's given that you can get artha and kama from dharma, but it's really meant for something higher, which is to go beyond that, to go beyond the material way of thinking and come to the platform of apavarga, which is another way of saying mukti. Now, here in this verse which we read today, it's stated, Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahaitukya pratihata yayatma supracedati. This is the highest dharma. When Krishna says sarvadhaman parityaja, he's pointing to this. Savai, to come to the highest dharma. Krishna already says he comes to establish dharma. So when he says to give up all varieties of dharma, that is clarified in Bhagavatam. First we have to understand Gita, then we come to Bhagavatam. And in the beginning of Bhagavatam it's stated that kaitava dharmita projita atra. Here all cheating dharma is rejected. And real dharma, which is bhaktir adhoksaja, ahaituki apratihata. Ahaituki means no personal motivation, and apratihata means unending. Nothing will stop us. That means bhakti to adhoksaja. Adhoksaja is the name of Krishna. So dharma means selfless service, but that has to be clearly for Krishna. Even on the mundane platform, if we perform what's selfless service, like doing eye camps and giving free operations for poor people, that gives a higher sense of satisfaction than if we perform eye operations and make lots of money by doing so. But performing eye operations is not the highest dharma, because it is deha dharma. It is in relationship to the body. And this dharma, artha, kama, it's conceived of in relationship with the body. The beginning teaching of Bhagavad Gita is that we're not the body. The body is temporary. The atma is eternal. So the highest dharma is atma dharma, and selfless service must be for the supreme atma, who is Krishna, and that will fully satisfy us. We all want to be happy. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be happy. There's something wrong if we don't want to be happy. And we should also want to be good, because by nature we are good. So goodness and happiness perfectly come together. Here is described, Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahaitukya pratihataya yatma supracedati. The perfect goodness, the perfect dharma, is to serve selflessly the supreme good, who is Krishna. And that will make us automatically fully happy, because Krishna is fully happy. By serving him, we become fully happy. Why is Krishna fully happy? Because he is fully good. There's nothing bad in Krishna. Badness means to conceive of anything without the relationship with Krishna. So, although the general Vedic process is considered dharma, artha, kama, moksha, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has given us the finest purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, he states that the ultimate goal of life is not dharma. It's generally kshatriyas are very interested in dharma. They have to protect dharma. And vaishyas are very interested in artha, in money. And shudras, they think of these four things. Kama is most important. And brahmanas, they think that moksha is important. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Krishna Vishayak Prem Param Purusharta Jara Age Trinatulla Chari Purusharta. That the real goal of life for everyone, never mind whether you're Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or Mlecha like me, born in a Mlecha family, that the ultimate goal of, the highest goal of life for everyone is prema. Krishna Vishayak Prema means prema is meant for Krishna. And in relation to that, if we consider what is Krishna prema, then dharma, artha, kama, moksha, they are just insignificant like straw in the street. Because real dharma means savaipung sang paro dharmo yato bhakti radhokshaje ahaitukya pratihata yayatma supraseedati. Real dharma means Krishna, loving Krishna. So, there's a very interesting verse composed by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, who is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave instruction about, that prema is the highest goal. Raghunath Das Goswami, among the six Goswamis, he, more than any of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he exemplified that. He is the Prayojana Acharya, the Acharya of the ultimate goal of life, which is prema. So he has, like the other Goswamis, among the six Goswamis, he has given some writings. His writings are not very extensive in comparison to the others, but they are on the subject matter of the ultimate goal of life, prema. So, in one of his verses in this manashiksh, this instruction to his own mind, he says, na dharmam, na dharmam, shutigiran niruktam kilokuru. My dear mind, don't be concerned with dharma. And don't be concerned with adharma either. Wait a minute. Neither dharma, all right, but not adharma. So what's going on? In other words, the thought of what is dharma or adharma on the mundane platform, that is not ultimate dharma. To follow dharma, I mean Arjuna, Kshatriya, he should fight. Brahmana, he should yajan yajan patan patan dan pratigra. Brahmana, he should perform sacrifice for sacrifices for himself and for others. He should study and teach others. He should accept charity, and he should also give away anything that he doesn't need. So this is dharma. And there is adharma, not following that. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he was living not as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra. Practically he was in the position of adharma in one sense. He wasn't following Varnashram. He left all that and went to live on the banks of Radha Kund. So he wasn't following dharma, worldly dharma, but he also wasn't doing adharma. He was on a completely different platform. What is that? Vraje Radha Krishna Prachura Paricharyam Iha Tanuhu. In Vrindavan, fully serving in all respects Radha and Krishna. with his body. And body means body, mind, and words. Shachi sunam nandishvara pati sutatve guru varang mukunda preshtatve smarapadamajasram nano manaha. Knowing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, and that the Guru is very dear to that Krishna, to Mukunda. One should understand all this. So this is the highest dharma. To go beyond worldly dharma, adharma, and simply love Krishna. So this is pointed at in Gita, in Srimad Bhagavatam. This second chapter of the first canto of Bhagavatam is essential to understand these teachings. This is the entrance into Krishna consciousness. To understand what is dharma, adharma, what is the highest dharma, means to fully satisfy Krishna in all respects. Even if we are selfless and we try to fully satisfy others, we cannot. On the bodily platform, people become happy if we act for their bodily benefit, but they have to die. We cannot actually help them by removing cataracts. We can help them by removing the cataracts of ignorance, by which people think that by bodily benefit we are actually benefited. So I request you all to please study very carefully all these books which Srila Prabhupada has given us. Now in December, the devotees, they take extra effort to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. I think all of you in your home, you have Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, is it not? Everyone has. But everyone doesn't have Bhagavata. If you don't have this in your home, you should have. If you're coming here and you're very kindly listening to this knowledge which is being explained, but you need to understand this in detail every day of your life. Every day people are wasting their life watching this nonsense television. Best thing is get rid of your television and get one set of Srimad Bhagavatam. Study this carefully every day. Hold kirtan in your home. Just by doing this and following the instructions in this, you can make your life completely perfect, completely good, and completely happy in all respects. So, we request all of you who do not have this Bhagavatam in your home, you should definitely have one set of Bhagavatam in your home, if not more than one, so you can distribute to others. So please get a full set of Srila Prabhupada's books. There are many, many books on bhakti. Srila Prabhupada's books are the basis. You can also take other books. Dr. Sahadev Das is also writing books which are to bring people to understand the principles of Krishna consciousness. For instance, there is no human civilization. We may be very proud of our civilization, that we have big buildings and mechanized slaughterhouses, but there is no human civilization if we are killing cows. So this is essential for everyone to understand. So like that, he's writing books, I am writing books. There are many books being written on the basis of Shastra as given to us by Srila Prabhupada. So please read these books, Srila Prabhupada's books, especially Gita, Bhagavatam, and then there are Chaitanya Charitamrita, so many books. In modern life, people waste so much time reading newspapers and watching television, browsing around the internet. This cell phone, people waste so much time. People have the habit to gossip and talk nonsense, and now it is expanded by cell phones. So good advice is get rid of your cell phone, get rid of your TV, read Srila Prabhupada's books. You have to die. I'm not cursing you, I'm just stating a fact. Everyone has to die. At the time of death, whatever we are thinking of, that will determine our future. If we're thinking of Krishna, we'll go to Krishna. But we won't think of Krishna at the time of death if during life we fill our life up with all the nonsense on TV and Jai Telangana and all this nonsense. Or not Jai Telangana. I'm not taking sides. Both sides are nonsense. We have to fill our consciousness with Krishna. The most important for that is Shravanam Kirtanam. So hear about Krishna. This reading of Srila Prabhupada's books is an extension of the hearing process, and chant the names of Krishna. That is good. That will make us happy. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments, or protests? I think you're not Jai Telangana people, otherwise you wouldn't be coming here. Yes, please. Extension mic. We have.
Prabhuji, today we discussed about Dharma. In Shastras, I read one quote: Dharma Dharta Prabhavate, Dharma Prabhavate Sukham, Dharma Alabate Sarvam, Dharma Sara Vinam Jagat. Means the entire universe is followed by Dharma. Even though the enlightened people are following Dharma, but they are struggling with the. So many types of troubles. Why this is happening in the universe? Even though they are
following them. People who follow Dharma, they seem to be suffering. And often people who are not following Dharma, they seem to be doing well. It's a common question. There's a cycle. People suffer and they pray to God. God, please help me. And they act according to Dharma. Then in the next life, they get born in a rich family and they can enjoy. Then they forget Dharma. So it goes on like this. People are suffering and they follow Dharma in the hope that they will get free from suffering. So they get free from gross suffering, and in their next life, they get born with lots of money. Then they forget Dharma and do all sinful things. And then again they get born in a poor family and suffer. So it's a cycle. Therefore Krishna says, Sava dhaman parityaja mame kam sharanam raja. Get out of this nonsense material world and go to Krishna. Those who are enjoying in this world by adharma, they will suffer for sure. And those who are suffering and following dharma, they will get free from that suffering and they will get a position of enjoyment. Then again they'll suffer. So both. Therefore Raghunath Das Goswami says, Na dharmam, na dharma. Na dharma means na dharmam, na adharma. Forget both of them. Chant Hare Krishna. Go to Krishna. The metro line wants to, some people want to put the metro line through Radha Gopinath's temple. Is it dharma or adharma? I can't hear. Is it Shreyas or Prayas? Well, according to the Vedic understanding, it's neither. It's just vidharma. Even Prayas should be on the basis of dharma. Is it... the whole Hyderabad city is all adharma. The whole idea of having these big cities, all pollution and all the politicians cheating people and factories and slaughterhouses. They're both slaughterhouses for animals and slaughterhouses for children called schools. The whole thing is a dharma. And they want to have a metro railway so people can, it's more convenient for people to perform adharma. So we're going to hell in a very sophisticated way. The whole thing is nonsense. Upside down, inside out. Back to, whichever way you look at it, it's all nonsense. In Bhagavad Gita, is Krishna referring to the highest dharma, where he says Sarvadhaman Parichaya? He's indicating that. That is more clearly explained here in Bhagavatam. Can we consider the instructions, if we're following the instructions of Guru, can we consider it dharma? Well, if the Guru gives the right instructions, Guru is supposed to instruct according to dharma. But mostly in the modern age, gurus, they're all cheaters. So you have to get the right guru. That's why one has to be very careful in seeing, is the guru properly instructing us or not? If the guru is in the bona fide parampara, then he's instructing us properly. But we shouldn't be lazy and think that, well, okay, someone, this guru's guru was good, so the guru must be good. That's called laziness. You're supposed to see for yourself. Just because someone is initiated by Srila Prabhupada doesn't mean that he's in a bona fide. We accept that Srila Prabhupada is in a bona fide parampara. But just because someone's initiated by Srila Prabhupada doesn't mean that he's in a bona fide, that he's follow, if he's actually following and saying what Prabhupada says and teaching, then he's in the parampara. If he's saying and teaching something else, then he's stepped out of the parampara, even if he claims to be within it. If the guru really wants to please Krishna, yes, then he should follow what Krishna says in the parampara. Parampara means you follow what you received from your predecessor. You don't invent anything new. How will a neophyte know? A neophyte won't know. Therefore, a neophyte has to pray to Krishna and study and be somewhat careful. Studying Srila Prabhupada's books should help us. Could you simplify the question?
So generally what I'm trying to say is, if we are following the instructions of our guru.
If we are following the instructions of our guru.
And sometimes we may be successful and sometimes we may
not. Sometimes we may be successful and sometimes not. What do you mean by successful in this regard?
Successful in the sense we are trying to actually please Krishna.
You're trying to please Krishna. But you should know what Krishna wants. And if we act sincerely, to under proper guidance, then that is success. Hare Krishna. Some other question?
Yeah.
Neophyte is in an initial state. Yeah, that's what the neophyte means. We recommend neophytes in Krishna consciousness to read Srila Prabhupada's books. Yes. How can he be careful? Well, first of all, he can be advised to be careful. Neophyte progresses by hearing and learning, so he can be advised to be careful. How can he be careful? He can be advised to be careful. Don't just rush in blindly. To be frank, and we're probably not supposed to say this kind of thing, but I think we should say it anyway. There have been many problems within our ISKCON society, and we should tell people who come to not just accept blindly. This ISKCON is meant for giving the highest path of spiritual life, but there have been and are various problems within it. It's proper, therefore, to tell people who are coming that please don't be discouraged by the problems, but be aware that they exist, and don't accept everything that everyone says as being completely spiritual, because in any spiritual organization, we can expect that people will enter with different motives. So that's going on in our society also. So be careful. We should tell people. Otherwise, they may be cheated. So, therefore we advise, read Srila Prabhupada's books. And when you find devotees whose instructions and whose life is the same as what's in the books, then you can be confident and go forward. You should check. And if there's something different, don't go. That's good advice. Don't be so lazy to think that because the sign ISKCON is on the door, then you can walk in, turn off your mind, and just do whatever they tell you and everything will be alright. That's not what Krishna taught Arjuna. He didn't just say, look, just do what I say and don't blind faith and everything will be alright. But Krishna in Bhagavad Gita made Arjuna understand why he should act as Krishna wanted him to act. So that is the role of a guru. It is not simply to give some initiation as in a ceremony and to bless you. The role of a guru is to change our consciousness by constantly speaking, change our consciousness to Krishna consciousness, of surrender to Krishna, by constantly speaking and exposing our misunderstandings and misconceptions and straightening them out and convincing us. So if something else is going on, be careful. Guru means teacher. Teacher in the parampara, which means he teaches what the previous guru taught. Not anything different. So, Hare Krishna. Still more questions? You came across a situation where a person wants to be good before starting chanting. I can't chant because I'm eating meat. They may say that. Sometimes people say that. I don't want to chant Hare Krishna because I'm eating meat. That's quite common. You had some other scenario. There are so many things. It may be someone's. I remember many years ago in Bangladesh, one policeman he was chanting Hare Krishna, but he thought, well, is it proper for me to take initiation because as a policeman I have to take bribes? If I don't take bribes, then the police beat me up, the other policemen. And then they become very afraid. If any policemen stop taking bribes, the other policemen become very afraid. And then we have to beat people up. It's all part of the job. So you have to become good first. Well, we encourage everyone to start chanting in any situation, but also understand, discriminate between right and wrong. We're not saying it's good to eat meat or beat people up, but understand what is right and wrong, but don't stop to start chanting before you come to a certain situation. The chanting will help us in any situation. That is Krishna's mercy. Actually, we're not fit to chant Hare Krishna. Even if you're a vegetarian, you never drunk tea in your life, and you never smoked a cigarette, and you never looked lustful at a woman, but still we're not qualified to chant Hare Krishna, because actually that's meant for the highest liberated souls. It's Krishna's mercy that he allows us to chant. He tells us to chant in any situation. So we can try to convince people in this way. Sometimes they have an excuse also. They give a pious excuse for not taking to Krishna consciousness. Pious sounding excuse. It's actually insincerity. Yeah, the questions are going on, yeah. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Yes, that is cheating religion actually. That's stated right there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. They're all cheating. Kaitava, it's explained that Kaitava dharma means dharma, artha, kama, moksha. But it is required in this world to regulate us. Because if we don't take to that, then we go to vidharma, vikarma, we go to grossly sinful life. So it is required because we are rascals. But we should rise above that and come to the real platform of dharma, which is surrender to Krishna. All right, one more question. Yeah. That's completely off the topic, so I won't discuss it. All right, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.